Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we don't want to take up too much time with an introduction, but if you were here this morning, you know you were blessed. So he did come from the south, I think somewhere around Knoxville, Tennessee, somewhere like that, and then he went out to California. I don't know how in the world that stuff mixes, you know, and then how in the world he became a cardiologist. I have no idea, but I think he's got a great word tonight. He told us a little bit about what he's going to be teaching on and preaching on. So would you just help us give another great round of applause for Dr. Sam as he comes and ministers the word tonight. Amen. Thank you, my brother.
Love you, buddy. Thank you. Amen. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Well, the law of the Lord is perfect, and it revives the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, and it gives life to those who hear it. And today, we're going to have life and life more abundantly in Jesus Christ. This is more precious than gold, which, by the way, if you don't know, costs $3,333 per ounce. It used to be $600. But this is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. It's sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant worn, and in keeping them, there is great reward, and God has a reward for you, loved one. But today we're going to talk about this reward because we want to know what's going to happen when we get to heaven. You know, salvation had nothing to do with our works. But after salvation, we want to work for Jesus Christ, not because we have to, but because we're in love with Jesus Christ and we want to do his work. And you know, that's why I'm so motivated to talk to my little orphans, to take care of them, because the daddy looks at himself, gets a gun, shoots himself. This is in Burma. And then he shoots the wife, his wife. And there are two little girls that are going to be sex trafficked. And we pick those children up and we take them to our little ministry house and we take care of them and love them. I don't do that to get accolades or to say, oh, you're so good. No, God is good. There's nobody good. Only God is good. And so we want to go to the world. Because when you get to heaven, and I get to heaven, and I hope everybody here, it's Sunday night, obviously those who are serious about Christ are here, but when you get to heaven, there ain't no witnessing going on, y'all. You can't be like, hey, did you hear about Jesus? He died for you. He said, no, you're already there. So we want to do our work today in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, there's so much in the Bible about life after death. And I've seen death in front of my face so many times. One time I was working on a patient. He was 85 years old. He had cancer. And when he came and they rolled him in, I looked at him. He's like, I'm like, I don't know if I could save this man. He's ashy. He's blue. It's code blue to the highest level. And so we brought him into our cardiac cath lab and I'm working on him. And I look everywhere and it's like, oh my gosh, everything is blocked. But I know one artery, looking at the EKG, looking at my patient, I know that one artery I got to go after, you know, it's not any money. You can't do that. You can't do that at that level. It's life and death. And so you go after what's the culprit, we call. So I go after the culprit. It's so calcified. It's so hard. And I get the balloon in. I open up the artery a little bit. And then I'm taking it out. I'm bringing in my stent. That's like a metal mesh. It looks like a fence. You know how the fences look? It's kind of open, but it's metal. And it'll be deployed. And when it's deployed, it just expands and holds the artery all up, so the pipe is now free flowing. And so I can't get the stent in. No matter what I do, I'm pushing, I can't get it. And so I take it out and put another balloon in to expand it a little more. The next shot I take, it's not a dissection of an artery. I can take care of a dissection. It's a perforation. The thing has burst. Well, you got your heart, you got the arteries on top of the heart, and then you got a sac that surrounds it. Now, if that artery burst, which it did, if that artery burst, then there's no space for that flow to go. The heart can't, it's going to choke the heart to death. I've got seconds to do what I've got to do. I take the balloon out, I put a covered stent so I can cover that big hole, atomic bomb hole. I can't get that in. I take it out, I take another balloon so I could cover it for a split second. I go back and I go, Lord God, Jesus Christ, I'm going to need your help now. Now, I don't pray during crisis. I pray before the crisis. I pray during the crisis, and I pray after the crisis in thankfulness. Jesus Christ ain't your cashier. All right, we don't just bing, Jesus, I need you now. And you get what you want, you're like, thanks so much. And mosey on the way into Disneyland. That's not what Jesus is about, y'all. Jesus is here for you today, tomorrow, forever. We have to honor him every day, every single minute of our lives. So God, Jesus Christ, help me, strengthen me. Everybody around me is fainting, but strengthen my people. And I come up. And I look at the artery, one more picture, and that artery is 100% completely healed. Yeah. And everybody's looking at me like, what'd you do? I'm like, I didn't do anything. I didn't. You know, 17 years worth of education to try to get to open up a heart artery, there's something greater than science. There's something greater than doctors. There's something greater than education. There's something greater than skills. Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. Oh, I know who I am. I'm nothing. He's everything. And I love him so. And I want you to fall in love with him. It's so, so essential to fall in love with our Jesus Christ. I write these books, loved one, not because I have spare time. I don't. But I write these books so that I may hopefully share that joy with you. And the proceeds goes to my orphan. So I want y'all to go help the Beacon of Hearts tonight by getting these books. 31 Days of Hope is a devotional that you could do on a day-to-day basis. It's very short chapters. All of them have something about patience. And it ends with a prayer. You and I pray together. And people are reading it throughout the year. I thought they'd just read it for 31 days and put it aside. Nah, they're reading for the whole year. Life prescriptions, if you want some medicine physically, spiritually, and for your soul, that's what this is. And it's literally my prescription pad on every page that you get a prescription. God Knows Your Address is my story, my testimony. Y'all know that I was born in Jerusalem, ultimately came to America. And America wasn't easy for me, all right? I've got pantalons. The kids got Levi's. I've got like sandals and they got Nikes. And you know what they call me? A Kojiglani, and they got Smith. Kojiglani and Smith. Very different, y'all. So what do they call? They call me the ugly dog. They call me the dirty foreigner. That's what I got for a couple of years in America when I was in the fourth grade. And so, I was hit so hard one time in the playground, not because I'm a thug, but because I'm a foreigner and an ugly dog. And the kids would push me. I had to go to the hospital because my nose wouldn't stop bleeding. So this is what I had to face. And my parents taught me two things. Sit on your butt, study like a mad dog. Get on your knees and fight. And let the Lord do his work. And I wasn't fighting with my fists. I was fighting on my knees at an early age. And in a matter of 2 years, I hate it when people say, I'm on the wrong side of the track, and my mama and daddy, they caused all this. Shut up. Shut your big fat mouth. Get off your butt and do your work. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this. Blaming everybody. Pointing fingers. Look at yourself in the mirror. Shut up. Get up. Go. So that's what I did. And in a matter of 2 years, I sold the most candy bars in that school, y'all, in the history of that elementary school. I got in the choir. I played basketball. I went to the administration. I worked on answering telephone calls in my broken English. Hello? You know, all that stuff. Yeah. Slowly but surely you get it. Yeah. And so in a matter of 2 years, I was sitting in a sixth grade graduation. And they give all kinds of award, arithmetic, blah, 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 blah. And I remember as a fourth grader, I sat and listened and what I could understand in my broken English. I'm like, when I grow up, I'm going to get that award. And the last award was the best all-around student. And lo and behold, the principal voted by all 900 kids and all the teachers, the best all-around student, and they called my name. It's crazy when you think about it, because a kid that's an ugly dog did everything possible through God's grace to become the best all-around student. Shut up complaining. Get off your butt. Let's go. Let's go. God is good. And it hasn't been an easy life. You know, when I applied to medical school, I have I'm happy to tell you that success comes with failures. I have 27 rejection letters to medical school. 27. They told me I don't have what it takes to be a medical doctor. Not a cardiologist, just a medical, plain medical doctor. That's what a counselor told me. So I've got all that. It's in the past. And I remember after the 27 rejection letter getting on my knees. And this, by the way, this book is so good if you want to preach the gospel to people without knocking them over the head. God knows your address. I got on my knees and I said, Lord God. And he's like, don't call me Lord. I remember that day in my soul. And I'm like, everybody's beating me up, 27 rejections, now the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit never beats you up. He's the comforter. He was just reminding me. He said, I led you to medicine and you turned it into an altar. And you worship that altar. I didn't take you here to worship the altar. I brought you here to worship me. And that day I said, okay, I'm going to do something insane. All my life I've devoted to come to this level. I'm going to give up medicine and I'm going to give it to you. But if you take it from me, I just want you to know that part of my heart will die. Tell the Lord the truth. He ain't crazy. He knows. He knows it all. I told him, I said, part of me will die, but I'm going to hand it to you, Papa. And so I did, and it was 1 week after that, I had tried to get into a master's program. They picked three people. I was number four to get picked. It was rejection after rejection. I finally got into something called a special status student where you can take some courses with the medical students at USC Medical School in Los Angeles. And so I'm there trying to take courses. I finally got into the master's program. With all these failures going around, swimming around my head, and I got called in 1 week after that prayer. I give it all up. I got called in by the dean at USC Medical School, and he said, we've been watching you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get kicked out. I prayed, and God, yeah, that's fast. What are you doing? So I'm going to get kicked out. I'm not even going to get a chance to finish my master's. And so the dean said, we've been watching you, and we want to ask you if you want to teach our students at USC Medical School. Wow. I'm looking around, I'm like, you talking to me? So this is a 27-time rejection kid, yes? This is the ugly dog. And he's talking to me, wanting me, the reject, can't get into any medical school in America. I want to be teaching in one of the most prestigious schools in the medical schools in America. And that's what you call the grace of God. And so I start teaching the kids, and then ultimately I apply to one more school. Only school, that was it for me. To USC, might as well. You're getting your master's there. You're teaching there, might as well. And you know, they looked at my, I wasn't there. They looked at my stuff and my grades and whatever it might be. And they're like, maybe not. You know, I applied early decision, meaning you go fast. And you're ahead of 15,000 people who are applying. And they pick 99 people. It ain't easy, people. Okay, so they look at my stuff. They're like, maybe not. Maybe we'll put them underneath the pile and we'll try again. Althea was there. Althea is a black lady. She was the head of the minority students. And she's like, I'm sorry, but this kid has like the Teacher of the Year award in all of USC for 2 years in a row. He's been with our kids. They love him. He loves them. He works extra hours and doesn't get paid to teach these minority students. I'm sorry. If you don't accept him, perhaps I'm on the wrong board. It was that day, and I certainly wasn't there, that I got in to USC Medical School unanimously. You flash forward 10 years, you know, you go to medical school, it's not easy. You go to internship, it is a freak out situation. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill somebody. So you get the pager, you're like, no, not now. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's so hard. It's unbelievable. Now you laugh at things like that. You don't laugh, but you're like, I've been there. But you know, you don't want to kill anybody. You have to take your own heart rate when you're trying to work on somebody. And so Then residency goes, and then I get into cardiology, and then now I'm a senior fellow in cardiology. And I wasn't even supposed to talk about this. What in the world? I'm in a senior cardiology, and I'm heading a whole team. And so I get a phone call, Dr. Kojiglanian, somebody's dying. You got to come here. You got to take care of this person right here, right now. And so I rush down, and we're pumping on this man's chest. And I mean, he's blue, and my favorite color, blue, but not on you. We get him back 20 minutes later. We're like high-fiving each other. Everybody's like, you're bad. No, you're bad. It's so much fun to bring somebody back to life. It's unbelievable. And so we're so happy. And so we go over there, and I'm going to talk to the family, and I see Althea there, and I'm like, Althea, how you doing? 10 years I haven't seen her. And she's like, come here. I'm like, I can't. I got to go talk to the family. She goes, come here. I'm like, no, Althea, I'll be back in a second. I got to go. And she's like, no. Come on. Well, no. Okay. So I'm like, I'm trying to find the family. She holds my hand, and she says, you know, the man's life that you just saved, that's my husband. Wow. She goes, I knew there was some reason why I chose you. And then she says, you know what? I said, what? I'm crying. She's crying. She goes, you know what? I said, what? She goes, you're like black Jesus. And that day, I got the biggest promotion of my life. I just went from a white Armenian cardiologist straight up to black Jesus. That's a promotion to me. Okay, so, there are over 360 hospitals in Los Angeles. They don't go to that hospital. On that day, when I'm on call in the hospital, I am the head, the resident fellow. I'm leading a whole team. They're driving by to go to a wedding. He has a heart attack. They have to stop by. And I'm there to bring life back to this man? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So that's my life, y'all. My life is nothing without him. And that you get that in this book. So share this book. It's really beautiful. And then I think we ran out of this book. It's a happy book. Everybody wants to be happy. So they got it. So this is Make Revelation Happy Again. And it really is. I mean, 70% of Revelation is talking about the tribulation. That's only a 7-year span. And it's all about torture and torment and bloody and all that stuff. And I pull out all the happies. And we have one copy over there. Don't y'all fight nobody. We have one copy over there. But if you want it, you can order it today. And I will sign it in California. We will ship it back to the hospital. We'll ship it back. Help me, Jesus. We'll ship it back to Only Believe Church. And then the pastors will give it to the right peoples. Okay, y'all, this is for our orphans. This is how we support. And so I'm asking for your support. I actually was talking to Pastors Randy and Nicole and my brother Eric Smith. And we came up the Holy Spirit told me, I'm going to ask, and I'm not here, just across America and the world, 300 Gideon soldiers, and we're going to call them the Beacon soldiers, to come alongside and give from their heart and soul $10,000 each person to the Beacon so we can rock this planet for Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do, y'all. We're going to tear this place up. We're going to win billions of people to Christ, and we're not going to stop because we love Jesus Christ. And when you give to this church, Only Believe, and you're sending Pastor Randy, and you're sending Pastor Rick and Pastor Eric, all these people to Kenya, you are taking part, even if you are not there, you have taken part in the salvations that came to Christ. Know that. Know it. Know how special your gift is to the church, and that's your number one priority. It's this church when you come here. Okay, loved ones, I did not mean to go there, but I did. And so now I'm going to go to Luke 16. Luke is a doctor. Y'all know that, yes? Yeah. Dr. Luke. So you can do both things. You can evangelize and you can be a doctor at the same time. I love Luke. And man, he gets down to the nitty gritty and he tells you details like nobody else. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, ain't nothing wrong with being rich, which was clothed in purple and fine linen. And it sounds almost like what they build, what Moses built in Exodus 25 and onward. That's how the temple was built. The curtains were of fine linen and they were of purple and scarlet and blue. This man had it and he fared, I love this word, sumptuously every day. I mean, he was comfortable. He was like on a yacht in the Mediterranean Sea. It was opulent living. This was not passive. It was active. It was abundant. It was overflowing. This is that man and we don't even know his name. This is a parable, but I think it's a true story. Why? Because Jesus doesn't name names in parables. And watch this in verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. That's where it tells you this is a true story. It's not, this is beyond the parable, loved ones. Because a name is named, and in the prodigal son, you don't know his name. You don't know the older brother's name. You don't know the daddy's name. It's a parable. This is a parable, but yet it is a true story. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. You know, I think this man had what I call pyoderma gangrenosum. Yeah, I ever heard of that? That's even harder to say than Kojaglanian, my last name. Pyoderma gangrenosum. Pyo is like pus. Derma is like skin. He had, and gangrenosum is ulcers that were open and oozing. This was wretched. Today, easy. Antibiotics, amoxicillin, Augmentin, poof, you're better. Then there was no antibiotics. There were no ERs. There were no doctors. There was no debriding anybody. This man was sick. This man was in pain. And this is like flies all over him. This is not a good situation. He's at the gate. And when the brother drives in through with his Rolls Royce and the gate opens, I'm sure he's looking and the gate shuts. And then with all the 10 car garage, he parks his Rolls Royce in one of the spots and he gets out. And what does he do? He fares sumptuously. Oh, he's all that. He got it all. I mean, he's stock market. He's everything. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. This is what Lazarus does. And you're like, I thought he was outside the gate. He is. He's not underneath his table trying to get the crumbs. He's desiring to get the crumbs. That messed me up for the longest. I'm like, how can he be at the gate? He can't come in. And he's not at the table. He desires. He wants. He longs for to be there. He desires to be there. Interesting that we don't even know the rich man's name, but we know the poor man's name, Lazarus. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Nasty. And so in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Lazarus dies. And he's carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We want to know what happens after life, yes? Oh, so many people know NFL stats. This quarterback has this rating. This running back rushed for 200 yards in this game. We're like, I can't believe it. I love this game and I love this guy. Heisman. And we just love things like that. And he hit the home run. It was the ninth inning, and it was two outs, and there were two strikes. And we love things like that. Talk about the future. Talk about eternity. People like, sometimes, y'all, people ask me, are you going back to Jerusalem where you were born? And I'm like, nah, I got no interest. But I am going to the New Jerusalem in church. And people ask me, where's that? I'm like, it ain't in Ohio. So Christ followers really don't know the Bible. Many Christ followers are illiterate. That's not you, loved one. Today, that's going to change. And that's not like, I'm feeling guilty. Don't feel guilty. Just come to the cross. Come to the Bible. This ain't no vain words, y'all. This is your life. This is health to your whole body. You're like, where's that? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, 22. My son, my daughter, pay attention to my words. Keep them close to your eyes. Incline your ears to my saying. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Pastor Randy got it. He even sang. He said, heart. Notice it ain't kidney or liver. That's why I chose the heart. God talks about the heart all day long. It's keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what?
Life
to those who find them. And what?
Health
to what? The whole body. You don't even know what you got. First thing, doctor, I got this. Go to the doctor of doctors. I'm not telling you to ignore your medicines. I'm just saying don't ignore the God of gods, who happens to be the surgeon of surgeons. And his word, loved one, will bring so much joy, so much goodness, so much health. And that's what we need so badly. So he goes to Abraham's bosom. We got to find out, where in the world is Abraham's bosom? And the rich man also died and was buried. You like that? He's like, he died, he was buried. But but Lazarus, the poor man, I love that. And he was buried. I love Luke. He just like says he's in the ground. But the Lazarus, the poor man, he's in Abraham's bosom. We got to find out where in the world Abraham's bosom is. And we'll find out in a minute. And in Hades, there it is. Now we know where it is. In verse 23. Some translations say hell. That's not the right translation. And in Hades, he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torment, we know Hades now is a tormented place, and sees Abraham. He saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Notice he identified Abraham. Okay, you will know who people are in eternity. That's very important. So he's in Hades. So what is Hades? And the word in the Hebrew is Sheol. It's the same thing. Hades and Sheol are the same thing. They're divided. We'll see that in a minute. They're divided into two. We have the tormented side and we have the good side of Hades. So what is it? It's a temporary holding place for those who have denied Christ, hated Christ, ignored Christ, knew the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it didn't want the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a holding place. But before Jesus came, before he went on the cross, it was a temporary holding place for all the saints in the Old Testament on the good side, where it's called Abraham's bosom. That's the good side. Today, it's totally empty. I'll tell you why in a minute. But the tormented side is populating. It's just growing. Everybody who dies, Hollywood, going, I'm God. Okay, you find out after your last breath, you wasn't God. You'll find out. They're in Hades and they're being tormented. Temporary holding place for the dead before they go to hell. And it is not hell. So it is not purgatory, loved ones, because there is no such thing. My people's the Armenians. They'd be like doing this. You know, Armenians, we were the first nation to accept Christianity as a whole, 300 AD. Did y'all know that? The first nation in the whole wide world. So my people, Armenians, think they're all Christians because they're Armenian. No, you don't. The only way you become a Christ follower is through the blood of the Lamb that was spilled on Calvary Street. That's it. I don't care if you're African, Armenian, Argentinian, it don't matter. Only the blood matters. That's it. So that's the only way to get to heaven. So it is not purgatory because there is no such thing. You cannot give a priest $500 or $1,000 and tell him to pray your loved one out of Hades. It's over. It's over. Once the person takes the last breath, it's done. So what you doing about it? Oh, see, in America, we like one thing. It's called comfort. Mm-hmm. Don't bug me. I get all I can, and I sit on my can. That's America. I'm telling you the truth. It may be harsh, but it's the truth. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Give me, give me, give me. Entertain me, entertain me, entertain me. Make me laugh, make me laugh, make me laugh. Let me forget my misery so I can laugh a little bit and forget my world. No, that's not what we're here for, loved ones. We're here to serve God and serve people. We're here to love God and love people. We're here to give to God and give to people. That's why you live if you don't know why you live. That's your purpose in life. No matter what you do, whether it's an engineer or a teacher or collecting garbage, it don't matter. We serve God and we serve people. That's what we're here for. So now we know what Hades is. We want to know where it is. Ooh, inquiring minds want to know where it be. I'm going to tell you exactly where it is because the Bible tells us. It's amazing. So we go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah. Oh, I love Isaiah. We had Isaiah running around today, Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Levi. It's all Linda's children running around. I love those names. Okay, Isaiah chapter 14. And you know, Isaiah chapter 14 talks about Babylon. And Babylon is Iraq. And you'll find out in my Revelation book that Babylon, when it says Babylon is fallen in the New Testament in Revelation, Babylon just doesn't all of a sudden miraculously turn into Dubai or Rome or Hollywood or New York. Babylon is Babylon. The Bible interprets the Bible. Babylon was Iraq in the Old Testament. Babylon will be Iraq in the New Testament. That's how the Bible works. So we don't make things up. We go by the Bible, loved ones. And if you don't believe it, then you read it and you get into it. So in 14, it's like 14:12, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer." So Babylon and Lucifer are put together in this, in the poetic way of writing this. So it's talking about Iraq, but God changes it to call him Lucifer. And it says in 14:14 of Isaiah, it said Babylon or Lucifer said, "I will ascend above the heights and the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." And then God said, "Yet you are brought down to where? Sheol." Oh, to the all sides of the pit. There's another word for Sheol or Hades, to the pit. We still don't know where it is. So I'm going to then turn, we're then going to turn to Ezekiel 26. Ezekiel 26. So he's taken to the pit, and he's basically at the fifth trumpet. He comes out of the pit in the book of Revelation, by the way. So we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 26, loved ones, and we're going to find out where Hades is. Oh, my. Okay, so in 26, it's now talking about Tyre. Tyre is Lebanon, north of Israel. And again, God likens Tyre to Satan. But watch what he says in 26:20. "When I shall bring you down with them that descend into the pit," there goes the word again, "with the people of old time, and shall set you in the low parts of the earth, in the places desolate of old." Oh, now we're getting it. Now we are going to the low parts of the earth. In fact, if we go to Ezekiel chapter 31, it talks about Egypt. It even takes us lower. It goes in 31, Ezekiel 14, talking about Assyria, that you who have ascended on high, Assyria. We talked about that this morning, Sennacherib. "You that have ascended on high," just like Satan, "you will be delivered to death," in verse 14, 31:14, Ezekiel, "to the nether parts," or the lowest parts of the earth. And in same chapter, 31 Ezekiel of 18, now it talks to Egypt. He said, "You saw what I did to Egypt. I'm about to do this to you. I'm going to throw you in the nether parts of the earth." This is Hades. And you're like, that can't be. Where else do you think it is? In Mars? Pluto? No. Because the crust of the world you walk on. You and I walk on the crust of the world. Yes or no? Yes, we walk on it. It can get up to 160 degrees. But there is a lower level. It's called the mantle of this world. And it's about 1,800 miles down. And it can get up to 3,000 or 4,000 degree Fahrenheit. Oh, and then you got the outer core going down deeper, the outer core, and it can go up to 7,000 miles down. I'm sorry, 3,000 miles down, 3,000, and it can get up to 7,000 degrees hot. And the inside inner core, 4,000 miles down, 4,000 or up to even 8,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's not a pretty place down on Earth. It is furnace beyond belief. Somewhere in the lower parts of the Earth is where these people are. That's why it's a place of torment. There ain't no whiskey. There ain't no Jack Daniels. And even if they say, I'm going to play golf all day, even if there were a golf course down there, there's no golf balls. You ain't going to play. Yes. So these people got to wake up. You know, I'll take you to Jonah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Y'all know how I know the books of the Bible? I have to learn it through rap song. It's like, then you got Daniel, Jose, Joe, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. I mean, that's the only way I could learn it, because I'm like, it's going too fast, I can't get it. I'm telling you, rap music is bad, but for the Bible, it's good. Daniel, Jose, where am I going? Daniel, Jose, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Okay, Jonah. Okay, Jonah, where you at? You're hiding from me. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah's talking, but part of this is Jesus Christ. You ain't going to believe it, but I'm going to read it. You didn't think Jesus was in Jonah chapter 2, did you? Well, here it is. And in Jonah 2:2, and I said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol. Yes. Oh, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. This is Jonah doing wrong, and a big fish swallows him right. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet have you brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Do you know what he said in Psalm 16:10? You, Jesus talking to God, his papa, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Oh, my land's sake. So you from that, I'm telling you, Jesus actually went to Sheol. And you're like, when? Oh, hang on. I'm going to tell you in a minute. So now we know what it is. We know where it is, into the nether parts of the earth. I'm not sure if it's in the outer core, inner core. I don't know, but I know it's hot. And nobody calling Edison to turn on the AC down there. It's going to be hot, hot. And that's not even hell. That's not even the great white throne leading to the lake of fire, real hell. It's not even there yet, y'all. And these people are being tormented. If you don't want to hang out with Christ on earth, why in the world would you think you want to hang out with him in eternity? Huh? God don't send nobody to hell. They choose to go to hell. You got a choice. I got a choice. Be in your mind, in your soul. Make sure you make the right choice. Okay, so now, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, this is the rich man. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send me Lazarus. He recognizes. Did you notice that? He recognizes Lazarus and Father Abraham, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, I just want to backtrack just a minute. Do you remember what one of the thieves said on the cross? All he said was, remember me. You don't have to have a long dissertation. Father, you don't understand my situation. Yes, he does. And I'll listen to that. Just, Father, I'm hurting. Yeah. I'm just hurting. Help me. And he just said, remember me, which meant, because he was cursing God, both were cursing. Ain't that the picture of the world? One side cursing, the other side cursing. One side goes, ah, that is the Messiah. He saw the Messiah. He said, there's no way. Everybody who was crucified in those days, they would curse like a sailor. They would curse so hard. And Jesus is like, forgive him. And he's looking at him like, ah, nah, this man is different. He sensed the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. He said, remember me. What does Jesus say? Today, you will be, 23:43, Luke, with me in paradise. That's another name for Abraham's bosom, and that's another name for Hades on the right side, on the good side, not the tormented side. Today, Jesus said, today you'll be with me. Jesus said, don't leave my soul in corruption, Lord. He's talking to his papa. You know, that's why one of the reasons he didn't want to go and take the cup for you and me, not because he didn't want to die. He didn't want his papa to turn his back to him for 3 hours on the cross when he took your sin and my sin on. He didn't want to be separated from his father. It never had to happen. So that's the reason why he said, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will, Father. And so that's the beauty of walking with Christ. Ephesians 4:8. Jesus Christ went down to Hades. At his death, he went to Hades on the good side. He took the captivity's captive. What does that mean? He took all the people from Isaac and Abraham, all the people, Abel, even Adam and Eve. He took them because they wore the clothing of that was the blood. He took those people, Isaiah, who was cut in half, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, who was placed in a pit. He took them all. I don't know where Jonah went. I'm not sure. But he took them all. I think the boy probably cleared his head and goes, okay, you're God. Okay, he took them all to heaven, the third heaven, real heaven. That was paradise, but he took him to heaven where he is today. And if you want to know where heaven is, it's found in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. It's the farthest north. So if people ask you where heaven is and you point upward, you're wrong. I'm wrong. It's the farthest north. You point northward. I don't know where it is here. That way? Oh, everybody's like this. Which one? Okay, that way. Yeah, point to the farthest north, and that's where heaven is. You see what the Bible teaches you? It's insanity. Okay, so that's why I love the Bible. And you do not want to be an illiterate Christian. You don't want to be like some of my patients who have cancer, cachectic. You know what that means? That means they're bone. Skin on bone. They ain't got no muscle. I meet a lot of cachectic Christ followers. There is no excuse. None. I'm waking you up. I'm shocking you today. Like your heart's an AFib. I'm like, shh, shh. And you're like, oh, I feel better. I can walk now. That's what I'm doing. You know, surgery cuts a little bit and it hurts, yeah? Well, we're cutting you with love. You're going to get better, y'all. You'd be like, oh, I feel like running after this. So now we know what it is. We know where it is. We know why it is. Why? Because Jesus had to go down there and he actually picked up every. So this side now is all gone. It's empty. What happens? Well, now when a Christ follower dies, to be absent in the body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, is to be what? Present with the Lord. So automatically now a loved one don't go to Hades no more in the paradise side or Abraham's bosom. It goes straight to heaven. That's beautiful. And when my daddy died a couple of years ago, my best friend loved him. He had second grade education, knew 6 languages. Why second grade? Because he's a dropout? No, because he had to work for his family after the Armenian massacre, where the Turks killed 1.5 million Armenians out of 3. To this day, they deny it. They're gonna see Jesus one day. They're going to be like, ah, I'm sorry. Okay, too late. So my daddy dies, right? And it was so sad for me. But here's how I got through it. And I want to teach you how to get through loss. My joy for him, to be in the presence of his creator and his redeemer and his savior and the lover of his soul. My joy for my daddy to be where he is much greater than my sadness for myself. That's how you overcome. And people, I'm sorry to say this. People who constantly grieve and they won't stop grieving are the most selfish people in the world. Ooh, I step on somebody's toes. Grieve and cry and I get... Shut up. Take the tears off after 6 years. Take it off and say, Jesus, I'm with you. And when I see you, I'm going to rejoice in you. Stop it. It's not for you to grieve all your life. It's for you to be joyful. And the reason why grieving people are sick and have no strength is because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wake up. Wake up, family. Wake up. All right, y'all. Now we know why. Now, there's another reason. 1 Peter chapter 3. Where is it? 1 Peter, y'all check it out for me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus actually went to the ugly side of Hades. And it says, wrong translation, that he preached there. Oh, but the Greek word is caruso, and that says he proclaimed. You know what he did? He's like, I see you, Satan. I see you, ugly demons. I see all the peoples here. Cain, I talk to you. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. You remember that, Cain? I said, sin is encroaching at your door, and it desires. You see that word? Desires to have you. But you must, I told you, you must master it. You didn't listen to me. Esau, chapter 28 of Genesis, verse 8. I talked to you. But you decided to go against what your parents wanted and married more and more Canaanite. I talked to you, Esau. Lucifer, you were the head of the worship team, Ezekiel 28. I talked to you, but you decided to be above me. And now look where you are. Do you know what he did? Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He took the keys of death and Hades, and it's in his hand. You check it out. He proclaimed, I am God. You missed the boat. And this is not it. That's why there's Hades. So he proclaimed. So we got the what. We got the where. It's like a reporter. Although reporters are fake today. Y'all know that. They ask a question. And it's not a question. It's a statement. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? In fact, there's like, in a sense, they're saying, you're stupid. Don't you know that? But it's in the question and... Anyway, how do I really feel about reporters? I'm not going to tell you. The things that go in my mind is insane. And I have to stop some thoughts. I'm like, no, you can't speak that out loud. Anyway, I'm going on now. And now we want to know, do people actually see each other? You know, will I know my loved ones? Is my doggy there? I don't know about your doggy, okay? But I'm going to talk to you about your loved ones. And you're like, but I'm going to miss my doggy. When you see Jesus, you're going to forget your doggy. I'm telling you. But I'm going to ask him this question. When you see Jesus, you're going to bow. Every tongue, every knee, everybody going to confess. He's Lord. You're going to forget it all. You're going to have a new mind. Ain't that going to be good? No forgetfulness, no Alzheimer's. It's a good thing. Amen. So he's like, Abraham, Father Abraham. Oh, they know each other. Ain't that a trip? Matthew chapter 17, y'all remember the story. Jesus is being transfigured. Who shows up? Abraham and Moses. And Peter recognizes them. It's not like Abe got a thing on his thing, you know, like a sign, name tag. I'm Abe. How you do? Hello. Y'all, hello, I'm Abe. Moses, Mo. Hello, I'm Mo. How you doing? Nice to meet you. No name tag. There's no name tag. Peter don't know them. He's a fisherman. He never met them. This is 1,000 years before. He's like, oh, let's make a tent for Elijah. It's Elijah. For Elijah and Moses. Let's make, it wasn't Abraham. It was Elijah. Why didn't somebody stop me? Okay, Elijah, Eli. Hello, I'm Eli. Hello, I'm Mo. Okay, so why did, he didn't know them. But he recognized them. Y'all remember in 2 Samuel when, oh no, 1 Samuel, when Saul, I think it's chapter 28, when Saul's going to war against the Philistines and he's going to die on Mount Gilboa.
And he goes to a witch in Endor, and he goes, please help me, please help me. God won't talk to me. Why is God not talking to him? Because God is mean and cruel, and he won't answer? No, because Saul shut his heart to God. He said, I'm done with you. And God's like, Pharaoh, that's your choice. You're Saul, but you're just like Pharaoh. You chose. That's it. It's over. And so he walked carefully with your Lord. He doesn't have a bat, but he deserves all your honor.
Amen.
So he's like, well, call somebody, call a spirit. And Samuel comes out. Everybody's like competing with each other going, is it Samuel? Is it a ghost? Blah, blah. It says, and Samuel spoke. Bro, if it says, and Samuel spoke in the Bible, it's Samuel. It's for real. He came out of Hades. He came out from Abraham's bosom. He came up. Remember, it's before Jesus' time, right? And it was full on paradise. He came up, and Saul and the witch who has nothing to do with Christ, recognized Samuel. Oh, you'll remember. And the people in hell that ultimately go to hell, they will remember everything that they heard. Even the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that would be a torment because they said, I laughed at that. I cursed that. I didn't want to follow that. And that's a bad place to be, y'all. So we have recognition up there. And then you want to know, when is this going to happen? Today, this place is being populated, tormented side. This place is empty. There will be a great white throne. After the millennium. I'll show you what it is. It's in my books of Revelation. Y'all need to get it. If you're not going to read it, give it to somebody else. So there's the rapture that's very imminent. It's about to happen. How do I know? Because it's the end of times. It's the end of the end. The Bible speaks of it. We don't have time to talk about it. You can even look it up in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. In the end days, perilous times will come. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, boasters, and disobedient to parents. There will be what? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, on and on. Okay, so you got the rapture that's about to occur. We're in the church age. 2,000 years are about to finish. And now we got the rapture going up. There will be a seven-year period of tribulation. We'll be in heaven, going to the Bema Seat, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 7 years of tribulation on earth. The 666 will come out. Do not be stuck here. Go up with the rapture in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, after that, there 7 years, the second coming of Christ comes. And the war of Armageddon happens. So the second coming of Christ and the rapture are not the same. They're separated by 7 years. So the second coming of Christ comes, and the Armageddon war happens, and the one world government, that's beginning now, it's rolling. We are one. Okay, Tower of Babylon, you're about to go down. It will happen during the tribulation, and there will be one currency, one religion, one God, the God of the world, Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then God will just come and say, fall down, Babylon. And Babylon will go down. And then, by the way, the reason why Babylon has fallen is because Iraq will be the capital of the Antichrist. You're like, that's not going to happen. You know, the one of the richest men, he is a CEO, and he is the CEO of Chase Bank. I won't give his name, but the CEO. He went to Iraq last year, and he told them that the denarii will become the currency of the world. In Iraq, will become, and we're going to help you do it. The denarii now is like, what, 0.0001 cent of our cent, one denarii. It's worth nothing. But one day, during the tribulation, it's going to be the capital of the Antichrist. Mark my words. It's in the Bible. So second coming, and then there will be a 75-day span. Did y'all know that? Between the second coming of Christ and the millennium, the 1,000 years reign of Christ. And that you find in Daniel chapter 12, verse 12, where God will renovate the earth and we'll have Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat judgment. It will be then. You won't be in it. Oh, I hope you ain't going to be in it. Because if you're taken up in the rapture, it's over. You're in heaven forever.
But here's where God will say to the sheep, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's where he says to the goats, you're going to hell. And so then the thousand-year millennium, I'm running out of space here, the thousand-year millennium, and then after that, the great white throne. Everybody from the tormented side of Hades will get their eternal bodies. Their body that was in the grave, thousands of years, wherever they are, in the sea, in land, cremated body, I don't care. Their body will meet their soul and spirit. Their soul and spirit are there. That's why they're in torment. Their body will meet, they will come up to the great white throne. When you read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, 11, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. That's what they're going to do. They hated him. They cursed him. They mocked him. They scorned him. They just belittled him. They're going to say, you are Lord. Oh, it's too late. They're going to go from there to the lake of fire, which is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, 12, 13, lake of fire. And that's the second death. The first death is a physical death. Those who are bought by the blood of Jesus will never experience the second death. Eternal hell. But there are two resurrections. The first resurrection is the rapture. What happened to the people in Hades at the great white throne? That's called the second resurrection. Don't be caught in the second resurrection. This is heavy duty, huh? You can hear a pin drop. Are y'all here? Good. Okay, so now we know when all this is going to happen. And we finished our story. We're going to finish our story. But Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Now, money is not the problem. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Mark it down in your brain. There is no problem with money. But the love of money is the problem and the root of all evil. Why do you think there's so many fights in Congress? It's money. Oh, Congress people, you are here to serve the people, not your pockets. Hello? Amen. I was going to go on, but I'm just going to stop. Just going to stop right there, okay, y'all? Okay, so now, Lazarus is not in paradise sight and then heaven because he was poor. He was there because he honored God. And the rich man is not in Hades and going to go to the great white throne and be thrown in the lake of fire because he was rich. He hated God and dishonored God. You must understand that. Okay, and beside all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed. You know, nobody can cross over from torment to the good side to Abraham's bosom. And by the way, that side, Abraham's bosom is now completely empty. So that which will pass from here to you cannot, neither can you pass to us. You can't crisscross here. We don't cross state lines here. You just don't do this. Where's the state line here? Ohio and Kentucky, yes? You don't cross between Ohio and Kentucky. It's over. We'll call Ohio the good part, right? I hope I'm not preaching in Kentucky soon. I hope not. No. Okay, so, for I have five brethren. Okay, so, in 27, he said, then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that may testify to them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Watch this. He knows it's too late for him. He's not trying to get out. He it's permanente. In his head, in his soul, in his spirit, he's like, it's over for me. But save my brothers. Help them. Let them not come here. That's good. He wants to evangelize. Too late. Then he said, I pray you, send them to my father's house. In 28, for I have five brethren. 29, Abraham said to him, they have Moses. We've got the prophets. Let them hear them. It's the word of God. They've got the word of God. They saw the Red Sea. They crossed it. That Passover was passed from one generation to the next to the next. They knew all about me. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. In verse 30, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. Really? Seriously. John 11:43. Lazarus, come forth. That brother got out of it. I mean, there were bugs all over him, y'all. There was sulfur in his body. There was carbon dioxide. It was nasty, nasty. There were over trillion cells that burst from his colon, and all that junk went throughout his body. And the bugs, they like it. But he came out in the fourth day after rigor mortis. He came out. Lazarus came out. What happens in John chapter 12, verse 10? The Pharisees want to kill him. He was raised from the dead. Did it make any difference? Nah. That's what he's saying. They've got the prophets. They've got the word of God. They're not going to believe somebody that comes out of the grave. They're not going to believe Lazarus when he comes out of the grave. This is a trick for them. Nay, Father Abraham, he says, if they see the dead, they will repent. No, they will not. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Loved ones, I want to ask you where you are today. Are you going up in the rapture? Number one. Are you bought by the blood of the Lamb? Number two, if you are, you're going up in the rapture. But what are you doing with your life? Because in eternity, where we will all be, there is no longer a place of like, I just want comfort, I just want comfort. Today, I'm asking all of you to set aside all of us, ourselves, and have a mindset of serving people, loving people, honoring people, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you can't do it, then support this church that does. They're the ones going to Kenya. They're the ones loving the children. They're the ones that have the 100,000 audience and people are coming to Christ with the thousands. They're the ones doing it, but you're supporting them. Go, loved ones, do it. If you can't do it, then get on your knees and start praying when they're in the airplane and when they're landing and when Pastor Randy is trying to get some of the stuff through the customs. Pray for them. Pray like mad. Because it's a satanic world. It's a demonic world trying to take people out. We need prayer, those who are fighting the battle for Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with this. Will you say tonight what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8? Because all of us are going to eternity. All of us. And remember what I told you. You cannot witness in heaven. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You cannot. And these people are going to hell. You understand that? For all eternity. Well, they may get offended. Let them get offended. Don't make up their mind for them. If I tell them, they'll get offended. You just made up their mind whether to go to heaven or hell. That's not right. Get up. I don't know what to say. Tell them about Jesus. He's my Savior and Lord. I just want to share with you what he has done. Now, if you're cursing and smoking cigars and drinking alcohol and drunk, you go, let me tell you about it. Set it aside. Get right with Jesus and then start talking. Amen. All right, because it's your, you know, when I see a little fish sign and somebody's going from the left to the right, you know, they're driving and they cut people off. They don't give their signals. I'm like, bro, that's ugly. Take that little fish off your little tail thing. I want to talk to so many people, but I can't. I don't know them. I can't help them. Will you say what Isaiah said today? Kids, will you say it? Adults who are very comfortable. It's what America does to you. Make all your can. Sit on your can. All day long. Here I am. Send me. Will you say it? This is your turn. I'm going to pray for you that you take on Isaiah 61:1. It's all about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has called me to heal
the brokenhearted, so that there will be opening of prison doors, the proclamation of liberty to those who are captive, and those who are bound will be set free. I'm going to pray for those who say, "Here I am, send me," that the Spirit of the living God, with a rushing wind and a fiery tongue, come on you tonight, and that your life will be changed forever. Who wants to say, "Here I am," no matter what your age, no matter what your background, no matter what your education level, no matter what your color, no matter what your creed, who's gonna stand up today and come right here and say, "Here I am, God, send me, let's go. Let's go. Here I am, send me." We're gonna pray. Eternity is coming up. It's going to be so, so fast. God is telling me not to sweat the small stuff. That this is very temporary. What's ailing you? What's causing you tears? What's causing you heartache? You can cast it at the feet of Jesus, as we talked about this morning. You can do that. It's time to think about your future in heaven. It's time, loved ones, please, I'm begging you, do not be a cachectic Christian. Please, skin on bones, get some muscle, get into the Word, not to clock in and clock out and go, "Here I go again, I've got to do this." No, to say, "Okay, Father, you know that deer you talk about in Psalm 42:1? He'd be like, lapping your water, "That's me. That's me." You ever seen pictures of the people in China who get the Bible for the first time in their lives? You see them? They'd be like, they're like that. And I'm like, I start crying. I start bawling. When I see that, it's like, oh, wow. It's just touches my heart. And in America, we got like 10 of these in the house. Who's opening this Bible? It ain't enough, y'all, to come here and hear beautiful Pastor Nicole and beautiful Pastor Randy speak to you. That's not enough. That's not going to carry you 1 hour versus 160 plus hours in a week. Not going to carry you. "When do I do it? I don't know." Get up in the morning. "But I got to wake up early." Get up in the morning. Give him time. Because in exchange, he'll give you life. He'll give you hope. He'll give you joy. No more cachectic Christians. Not in this house. Not today. Not evermore. In the name of Jesus, you today are going to be changed. So, Father God, I pray for my loved ones here. This is such a special, beautiful, tender-hearted group that have said, I don't care who sees me, I'm coming to the front. I'm coming to the altar. I'm coming to the throne of God. And so, Papa, all of us here, underneath the blood of the Lamb, we enter with boldness and confidence. There is no veil. You have ripped the veil, so we're coming into the Holy of Holies. And now we're standing in your presence. It's like, for me, just overwhelming. And we just want to thank you, because this is your throne of grace. It is not the throne of condemnation. It is not the throne of damnation. It is not the throne of Hades. It is not the throne of the great white throne. It is the throne of grace. And we are before you right now. And you say, "Come." And all my loved ones here, who many I don't even know, but I love anyway, all of us hand in hand, we come to your throne. And all the people that are watching live, every one of you, you join our hands. I'm talking to you too. I'm calling you out. I'm loving you. I want to pick you up. Let's go together, hand in hand. And we say, "Send me."
send me. Let me hear you say it. Lord, send me. Yes, Lord. We come to the throne of grace. And this is where you say, we obtain mercy and we find grace in a time of our need. Well, Lord, we're putting needs aside for 1 second and we're like, you know, I've been begging you for so many things, but right now, I'm asking you to take me, send me, use me, because Papa, you have breathed into me. And right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you fall like a rushing wind in my loved ones. Your fire, I just see it around these loved ones, burning and burning and burning and burning and melting all sickness, all diseases, all anxiety, all depression, all of the past, all that is in the future that's so overwhelming, burning, and the power of God falling on all the loved ones here and those who will watch or are watching now. The fire of God is falling on you. His presence is here and he is so, so real. And now we can say that God is anointing us so that we may proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the meek, and that we together, loved ones, will touch the brokenhearted, and we together proclaim liberty to those who are bound and captive. And we will go to the prisons, if you will, all over the world, whether it's us physically or we send people, and we will set people free from the hell they're in and from the hell that they will go to, because now, from henceforth, we are concerned about eternity and we are concerned about people more than we are concerned about ourselves. Papa, we give it to you. Our lives, our breath, our hopes, our dreams, our visions, our resources, our time. It is yours. Here I am. Send me. And loved ones together, let's say, here I am, Lord, send me. You ready? Here I am, Lord, send me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his beautiful, beautiful, beautiful face upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, loved ones. May the Lord turn his beautiful face towards you and give you his shalom peace. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I'll be back there to meet you with the books and love on you, pray for you, whatever you want. In the name of Jesus.
All right, let me bless you out of here tonight as you're going back seats. And don't forget tomorrow night also, hallelujah, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Monday night, 7 p.m. Tuesday night. Don't forget to bring your children, hallelujah, they have VBS going right now. They are rocking back there. They're having a fantastic time learning and playing. It's a beautiful thing. So bring your kids, your neighbors, whatever you can. Bring them here to VBS as well. Father, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you, Father, that it's not a light thing when we say, here we are, send us. God, I thank you that you provide the way, you provide the place that we are to be sent, even if it's in our backyard, even if it's into a hotel, whatever it is. And I thank you that you lead us and guide us. And we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit tonight. And God, we just thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for people being saved, being set free and delivered tonight. You wish that no man go to hell and be without you. God, I thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit on people's lives tonight, that they will say yes to you and no to Satan, that they will serve you and love you and hate Satan, the devil, all his works. And God, they will turn that 180 tonight and start to follow you and do what is right. And God, you're with them, teaching them, leading them. Lord God, they will grow in you tonight. Oh, we thank you for that. God, we thank you for blessing them tonight, your people, your church, as they leave and go to their homes. We pray protection over them. We plead the blood over them. We thank you for a great week, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Love you guys. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow night.